Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hi, this is Andre Yee, and I welcome you to the first of the Cloud Talk podcasts on eBizQ. To kick things off, I have my colleague and CTO founder of Eloqua, Steve Woods. Steve has recently written a book entitled Digital Body Language, and I've invited him to talk about the concepts underlying this intriguing book. So, Steve, welcome.
Thank you, Andre. It's great to be here.
And let me start with a little bit of a softball here. I think of the digital body language as describing what marketing in a Web 2.0 world looks like. But since you're the author, why don't you tell us what digital body language is all about?
Sure thing. Your description is definitely accurate. Really, what's going on and why there's a book and what the digital body language phrase means is marketing is really undergoing a transformation. And that's caused by our buyers. Our buyers are educating themselves online. They're taking advantage of all the information resources that are out there. And what that's done is that has really disintermediated an element of education that used to happen. If you think about sales and sales and marketing prior to the advent of the internet, you'd have a salesperson, they'd meet with early stage prospects on the golf course, in the boardroom, and they'd be telling them a little bit about technology changes or regulatory changes or what's going on in the environment and educating them. And the advantage that they had was that they could understand who was interested and who was not. You could see people smiling, engaged, leaning forward. You could see people who had their arms crossed and they were disinterested. They were pushing back their chairs. They were distracted. And that physical body language would tell a good salesperson which of those sales processes they needed to push forward on and which they needed to hold back on. But what's happened in that disintermediation that I refer to is those buyers are now getting that education not from a salesperson, but they're getting it online. They're going to vendor websites. They're going to competitor websites, right, to social media sites, and they're getting that education. So the shift is that now marketing needs to understand who's interested and who's not. They need to look at that online behavior and understand the digital body language, who's opening emails, who's visiting the website, what are they interested in, and how interested are they, so they can facilitate that buying process.
So if what you're saying is true, it sounds like marketing organizations have to make adjustments and they need to maybe change processes or technology. Which is it? Is this about changing technology or processes?
I would start with a change in philosophy. I think a lot of marketing organizations really need to come to the realization that they are no longer in control. They're not in control of the message. They're not in control of the flow of information. They're not in control of a sales process. There's a buying process that they can facilitate, but they can't really control a sales process. So once you've come around to that, really what you're talking about are all elements. There's people, there's process, there's technology that allow you to think in terms of a buyer, understand how a buyer buys, what information they need at what stages, and then how to get that information to them. Make it discoverable, seek to be found, nurture people who you've engaged with early on in the buying process and establish some of the ideas in their minds, and then facilitate the later stages of that buying process and get them in touch with sales at the right point. But it all starts with that change in philosophy, that it's a buying process we can facilitate rather than a sales process that we can push.
So that's somewhat interesting, because what you're saying is that marketing organizations, even though they're not in control of the message, actually have a bigger role to play in the sales process. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good observation. They're really moving further down the funnel and facilitating buyers the whole way from early stage education on what's happening in a certain space and what changes are interesting and of note, all the way through to what vendors to long list, how to think about a short list, how to validate, how to select a vendor. Marketing's really guiding that overall buying process and moving much further down the funnel than they were in the early days of sort of brand and awareness marketing only.
So, I mean, is this just theory, or could you share maybe an example or two of how marketing organizations that have really made an impact as a result of getting this digital body language vision?
Sure. It's definitely well into the realm of reality. We've been working with marketers over the last decade and really working through to some very tangible realities. One story that I love telling is Trinet. They're a professional employment outsourcing company out on the West Coast. So if you're a small and medium business, they'll outsource your payroll, your HR, your benefits. And very interesting campaign that Ian Brown ran. It's a couple of years back, and it was the year that the iPod was the hot thing for Christmas. And Ian's challenge, they had a very good conversion process once they got someone to take a meeting with their sales team. About 40% of those meetings would turn into deals. So Ian's challenge as a marketer was getting more people in that room. And so Ian's campaign was, I will give you an iPod to take a meeting with my sales rep. So you're thinking, wow, that sounds very 1999.com bubble-esque, right? But the thing was, what Ian did, and this is the new part, is he looked at that digital body language, and he looked for people that were on the Trinet website, and they were looking at geography-specific legislation around professional employment outsourcing or benefit packages or insurance policies or pricing. And because he looked at that, he was understanding where that buyer was in their buying process. And he knew that that was a buyer, a potential buyer, who just needed that one little nudge to take the meeting with the sales rep. So that was where he targeted his iPod campaign. And the results were stunning. He got a 20% uptick in the number of meetings and absolutely no change in the conversion rate within those meetings, still remained at 40%. So those results went straight to the bottom line just by understanding those buyers.
Fantastic. So where does Eloqua fit in this picture?
So really what you're looking at there is that change in philosophy, and it really comes down to your classic technology triangle of people, process, and technology. To engage with today's new buyers and facilitate that, you need all three elements of that. Eloqua really defined the category and has a platform that enables marketers to do what they need to do to engage with today's new buyer. So the platform enables that understanding of the buyer, that scoring of who's a lead and who's at what stage, the nurturing of people who are not ready, the handover to sales for people who are, and all of the analytics around it. So we provide the technology. We also have a very strong network of the community. So our partners who can provide some of the thoughts and the best practices on how to think about lead scoring or nurturing or how to build the campaigns, and a community of users that can compare notes and exchange ideas and best practices, whether you're stealing some interesting rich media campaigns from the Flyers and the 76ers and the Trailblazers in sports, or some of the deep segmentation strategy you see in financial services with Aon and Fifth Third Bank, or some of the operational excellence that National Instruments or NetApp or SuccessFactors have in the technology vertical. Sharing that expertise and best practices among the community all the while sharing the Eloqua platform really is what drives the marketers that we work with through to their success.
And so you didn't actually say this, but the category is marketing automation. So how would you characterize the difference between marketing automation companies like Eloqua and kind of email marketing companies that have been around for a while?
Yeah, it's a great question because there's sometimes a little bit of confusion there. Really, it comes down to how you think about the market. If you just want to grab a list and have some generic content and blast a large list with that generic content, kind of the classic outbound model of marketing, that's really where your email marketing vendors come in. And they're great at delivering millions of emails that are relatively undifferentiated. Where Eloqua comes in and really changes that is adding that understanding of the buyer. Where are they in their buying process and what message would they like at that moment in time? When, after they've seen a number of those messages, when are they ready for sales? And how can I score that buyer and say, this is somebody who, based on their level of engagement, is somebody who needs to speak with our sales organization and will welcome a sales call. So really thinking about it sort of outbound versus buyer-led inbound is where there's a difference between the email marketing batch and blast approach and the Eloqua marketing automation demand generation approach.
So you mentioned lead scoring. Give us a quick answer as to what makes for effective lead scoring.
Sure. So the most important thing in lead scoring is to split how you're looking at two elements of it. One of them is the who. Is this the right executive in the right industry with the right revenue range? That's kind of your classic lead scoring. The other element, the other dimension is how interested is this person? So are they on the website? Are they doing research? Are they doing searches? Have they looked at the right areas of content? And once you have those two dimensions, you can then start to look at those buyers in a different light. If you've got someone who's the right executive and they're highly interested, great, let's get them out to sales. But if you've got somebody who is the right executive, but they're just not showing that interest, you need to nurture them over time. If you've got the keenly interested summer intern all over your website, they're highly interested, but they're just not the right executive. Well, maybe you can use them to help you explore the account and understand if they're doing research on behalf of an executive who you need to be talking with. So once you've split those two dimensions, the who and the how interested, you can really start to understand and score those buyers and start to build that into your sales and marketing processes.
Great. Thanks, Steve. You know, let's wrap up with just kind of a little bit of change of pace here. Since you're sort of visionary and wrote a book, what's next? Where's marketing headed in this Web 2.0 social media world? And perhaps more importantly, what can marketers do to prepare for this?
That's a great question. So two main areas. One of them, social media, obviously very top of mind for most marketers today. Really, the way to think about social media, it's the continuation of the evolution of the buyers being in control. They're getting their own information. They're getting their own opinions. They're sharing those opinions with their peers. So understanding how the conversations are happening and getting involved in facilitating those conversations, all the while tracking how that relates to that buyer's understanding of your solution and level of interest in it through their digital body language is absolutely key. But at the same time, second area that marketers today are needing to focus on is the way that you think about your campaign success has to reflect that giving up of control of a sales process. You've got to really look at a buying funnel, a lead funnel, in the same way that a sales team would. You might have some people that are very early stage interest. You might have mid-stage interest, marketing qualified leads, sales accepted leads, and your campaigns drive people slowly through that funnel. But you need to start thinking about it from the perspective of, what does my lead funnel look like this quarter? What did it look like last quarter? And how are my campaigns making changes in the size and shape of that lead funnel? So two main areas, thinking about social media and thinking about marketing analytics from sort of a top-down balance sheet and income statement perspective is really where we're seeing marketing head in the next while.
Excellent. Yeah, marketing ROI is certainly important. Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Andre. I appreciate it.
And thanks for sharing your insights. And thank you, everyone, for listening in.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.